Well, later this year, members of the Irish Farmers Association, that's about 70,000 farmers, will cast their votes for the next president and vice president. The term of office is 4 years. We don't yet know the full lineup of the candidates, but we do know that for the first time ever, there will be a woman on the ballot box. I'm very happy to welcome Alice Doyle to the studio. She is contesting the vice presidency. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Ella. Delighted to be with you.
Thank you so much. You were born in Carlow to a beef, sheep and tillage farm family. You then became a primary school teacher while also working with your husband, Tom, on the farm in Gorey in Wexford. You met during your involvement in the Mochra National Committee. You've got three grown-up children now. How big a decision was it for you to decide to put your name forward?
It was a huge decision, but based very much on encouragement and experience. I've spent a lot of time in IFA, actually all my married life I've been involved in IFA to some extent, you know, very little in the beginning, but it increased as the years went by. And by being involved, but at local and then at national level, I saw how important farming is to the community, to the environment or to the economy, really. I saw how important that was. I realised that farming needs strong leadership going forward. I know that I can give a lot of that. I have those, you know, good leadership skills that I have developed over the years through my on-farm and off-farm work. And I feel that I can do that. And I got huge encouragement from my farm family committee, who are mostly women, from a lot of people, members throughout the country, from north right down to the south, who said it's time for a woman to be involved. And it's not just token woman, you know, that woman candidate. It's very much that you are the candidate who fits both bills at this stage. You have the ability, we hope, and we also believe that, you know, being a female, it's that balance is now needed within the organisation.
What do you think it says about the IFA that it has taken until 2023 for a woman to finally be on the ticket?
I don't think it's any different than any other organisation. We see, you know, the likes of the GAA and other big organisations, that women are now only coming to the front. And even in industry and in agribusiness and in most businesses, women are only in the last 10 years really coming to the top of the business. And I think that's more cultural than anything else. I don't think it's anything specific to farming or specific to IFA. Women were always involved. They were always involved at the, probably at the, down at the lower levels, but they were particularly involved in the farm itself, but didn't always come into the leadership positions. Some of that was due to time commitments, to rearing families, not having that time to get out to be there involved. That's changing, thanks be to God. I see a lot of women coming forward, but that, I think it's more cultural than anything else. And just like every other organisation, we are now reflecting that within our organisation, that women are coming to the top.
And what do you think the IFA has lost over the years from not having women in positions of power? Because, as you say, I mean, the women have always been there, but they've so often been invisible, particularly so in the IFA when it comes to positions of power.
I think women bring a different perspective. You know, you take any family unit or any business where you have a men and women working together, you get a much better balance of views and points of view. And women do come with a different skill set too, and they come with a different point of view as to how things might be approached. And I suppose because we, you know, the old adage, we multitask, we do multitask, and we can see things from different angles all at the one time. Men tend to be much more focused on the one thing. And I think by bringing a woman on to any committee, you bring on that balance. No more than if we could say vice versa, that if you had an all-female committee and you bring a man or two onto it, you will get a different perspective as well. So I think, I wouldn't say that we have lost out much, because the women were still contributing very much, and very much at home and in the discussion around the kitchen table. They were very much part of what was happening, and the men would have been bringing forward some of those ideas. But I think the physical presence of a woman and the impact that she can make on the discussion and on the logical progression of things. And as a woman said to me recently, women are very good at follow through. They don't let things slip. Men are very good at seeing the big picture and the goal, and they go straight for the goal. But sometimes they can have great ideas, but they get sidetracked by something. Whereas women will say, did you do that? Did you do that? Is that finished? We have to finish that. And I think that is something that I particularly can bring, because coming from my background of off-farm and on-farm work, I'm very used to, you know, having goals set, following them through, making sure that those goals are met in so far as we can, but also incorporating all other bodies and organisations and whatever other else is needed to make that happen.
Why not president? Why did you decide vice president?
A couple of reasons. The first one is I think I'm very aware of what I can do. I would be capable, I think, of being president, but I'm also very conscious of what I want to do and can do and do well. And I would prefer to be a good deputy president than bite off the presidency and maybe not as make a good as good a success of it. And I think by being deputy president, I can contribute more in that I can give it the energy, the time that it needs and the what it wants.
But are you tempted to go for president?
Sorry?
Were you tempted to go?
I have been asked, I have to be honest.
Would you change your mind at this stage?
No. I am very comfortable in going for this position because I believe I can actually do it, and I can do it within, I suppose when you say a comfort zone, I will always be at the edge where I will have to learn new things constantly, but I can still feel that it's within the comfort zone of being able to learn. I would be somewhat concerned that if I took on the presidency, that the pressure of what I would have to learn and have to continue to do would put so much pressure on me that it might affect the quality of what I would do. I would prefer to do quality rather than quantity.
Land is often, I mean, it is kept in the family name, thereby favouring male inheritance. And I just wonder, is it time that we had a conversation about women maybe not changing their surname? Why children only take the father's name? Does this need to change? Wouldn't that be quite a simple way of getting this issue about, you know, the barriers of daughters inheriting out of the way?
Look, that issue of changing the name, I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. And we do have a lot of young women who still retain their name when they go on to a farm. And when, in particular, where a woman owns a farm and a man marries on, she holds her name. But lots of women are holding their name going forward. But I don't think that's the reason why, you know, women are not weren't going into farming. Now, we do have an increasing number, quite an increase of young women going into farming. They are keeping their own name. But I think the reason that women weren't going into farming and weren't being the selected person wasn't to do altogether with the name and retaining the name on the farm. It was more the fact that that women weren't being considered as the one to do it. It was just the male. And that, again, is a cultural thing. But because there's now a huge effort around inheritance and succession, where we sit down now and we discuss around the table with the family who wants to farm, not who has to farm, it who wants to farm. And we have noticed a considerable lot of young women who are now putting their hands up to say, I am the one who has the most interest in farming here. And it's being very well accepted within the farming circles. You will always have the odd person who will want to say, oh, we don't want the name to change on the farm. Yes. That will be in everything, whether it's a drapery business or a butcher's business. That, you know, what's over the door is very important.
And just finally, briefly, you're involved in the Green Ribbon Walks, which is an initiative to help positive mental health among farmers. It is starting in September. Just remind us how farmers can get involved.
Very important part of the role that I do as chair of the Farm Family and Social Affairs Committee, that we look after the health and mental health and well-being of farmers. And we're encouraging farmers to come out to these walks. We have 16 of these walks throughout the country, right from Mallin to Mizzen. Nearly every county, you can see, with 16, it's quite a few. And counties joining together. There are walks in forest parks, there are walks in community parks, walkways, and we're asking farmers, please come out and come and do this walk. Take time away from your farm. Mm. It's really important to get that break. Take that half day. You know, years ago we took our Sunday afternoon off. Doesn't matter what day you take off, take a time away. Gives you clarity when you go back to the farm. It releases the pressure that builds up when you're working at home. You get to communicate with your fellow farmer, because, you know, farming is an isolationist.
And a problem shared.
A problem shared is a problem halved. Yeah. And it's a very enjoyable walk as well. Most people, it's a nice leisurely walk. Everyone from the baby to the granny on the farm can go out. But we're also asking people who are not farmers, you know, the general public, come and join us. We want you to share with us and we want to share with you. We all live in the rural Ireland, and we want to be part of that, you to be part of our community and we to be part of your community. So come and talk, come and share the chat, and I think we'll all go back a better person to whatever job we go back to as a result of that walk.
And there are more information, there's more details on that on ifa.ie, along with the fact that any member of the IFA can put themselves forward to be nominated. Nominations close on the 12th of September. Alice, best of luck.
Thank you very much.
With the elections. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And you're on your way now to a show, I gather.
I am. I'm heading down to Kilkenny, down to Iverk, a great show down in the southeast. A great gathering of farmers and rural people, not just from people from all around, really. So it'll be a great afternoon, I hope. I hope the weather stays up and I hope that they have fine weather for it, because that's huge for shows, the work that goes in. I was secretary of Tullow Show in my youth. I understand very much the work that goes into these shows and the effort that it takes. So I wish them a very successful day, and I'm looking forward to going down and meeting the farmers of Kilkenny, Tipperary and Waterford, particularly down in that area.
Well, safe journey, and thank you very much, Alice, for coming in this morning, Alice Doyle.